2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU. Tuesday nights at 7, Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaposi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is another edition of the Players Club right here on KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Carey, Scott Mitchell, and if everything is planned out right, Devin Kaposi from the University of Utah sitting in the broadcast house studios. Is it nice and toasty in there, Devin? Did we leave a snack for you? Everything okay there?
It's fantastic in here. We're doing great here back at the studio.
Good. So I'm glad somebody else. We just sprayed ourselves down with some mosquito spray. So that's where we're at.
Yes.
We're out here at the Cross E Ranch. Now, this is what we call ag entertainment. Yes. If you've ever been to one of these ranches that has all it's all the amenities with the barrel tractor rides, with the pumpkin patches, all those things, you can come out. And the way we've been described to is how to get out here is you're in North Salt Lake, and it's just the very west end of Center Street in North Salt Lake. So come out and see us and bring the whole family out. Tons of kids' activities to do at Cross E Ranch, and we've got tons to talk about tonight. And we're just going to jump right in here. Devin, the loss at San Diego State. Boy, this is tough when you join on Wednesdays, man, because I'll tell you, then we have to go back and remind you about what happened last Saturday. But for you personally, you had a really good game on Saturday. How did you look at the result on Saturday? 3 overtimes must have been the heartbreaker, on top of the fact that it's now 2 games in a row that you guys have lost.
Yeah, like I mentioned last time, we just wanted to be able to, every week everyone wants to take a step forward and dial in. Especially as a defensive front, we really needed to take a big step. And so from the BYU game to the San Diego State game, we were able to do that, which was great. Played a really good defense. They were able to break some big runs on us, but we definitely took a step forward when it came to our technique and executing on the front.
Yeah, I thought San Diego State was they were a really good run team offensively, and for the most part, other than maybe a run or two, it felt like a significant improvement from the BYU game to the San Diego State game. So it looks like you guys are headed in the right direction as far as improvement. It has to be a little bit disconcerting to lose a game. And as I've watched it, I guess the thing that it's like you guys turned it on at the end of the game and you find a way, because you were in the BYU game at the end. You had a chance to win. You were in this game with San Diego State. I mean, you weren't in the game. You came back, had a chance to win the game at the end. What do you think it's going to take to kind of get that sense of urgency or playing better earlier in the game? Or one of the other times I noticed is coming out at halftime, where you guys the last two weeks have been kind of flat. What do you guys need to improve to kind of get more of an energy for an entire game?
Yeah, Coach Witt was able to talk to us about in the 60 minutes of a football game, it's going to be a slugfest, and just being able to we're going to take shots from them, but we're going to have to answer with some shots back. So just being able to, we understand football is a game of momentum and everything. If momentum is in our favor, we got to be able to swing back to, take that momentum and get it back on our side. And it'll go back and forth, and just being able to really just stay fighting for 60 minutes, whether, you know, if we come out and we take a shot from them, you know, we got to be able to respond. And so just getting that grit that's involved in football, just having that gritty attitude. And
how do you do that? You know, how do you personally find a way to kind of shift your momentum? Right. Like you see that happen. I watch it. I've lived this. I understand. I know what I did to shift momentum for me personally. I'm just curious, what do you do? Like what mental, physical things? What actually goes on with you to change momentum for you in a game?
We've always talked about just being able to have that belief. We saw our punt return team take one to the house. Right. You know, Britt does a great job, but everyone that's on the field there. And Coach Witt mentioned how, you know, those guys believe when they're out there, that punt return team. And just being able to be out there and believe that no matter what's happening, you know, we have been trained. There's full confidence in us that we're fully capable to have the momentum change. So just stay believing and, you know, keep swinging in a sense.
Do you guys talk about that on the sideline? You go, hey, guys, you know, do you talk to each other? Do you just quietly say it? I know when you were a kid, you prayed about it in the stands when Utah was playing. I say this in all seriousness, because it's a real thing, and I just there were things I said on a sideline, like if the defense allowed a score, and I played offense, and so I, you know, you'd go up and down the sideline as you're waiting to go back on the field, saying we have to answer back right here. Mm-hmm. It's time to answer back. Got to answer, and so just making those words and saying those statements. Had an impact, you know. So I'm just curious, you know, what kind of things you guys actually talk about, or do you talk about?
Yeah,
that help you change that momentum.
Yeah, definitely within our position room, personally as defensive tackles, we talk about basically it comes down to two things: just mindset and skill set. And so being able to have that mindset, but what sets us apart as, you know, players on the field is like we're on the field because we have that skill set, and so they got to go hand in hand. You have that mindset at first. So within our room, it's being taught, you know, and then, of course, it fans out bigger to, you know, to our defense, our defense as a whole. Just being able to, like you said, going up and down the sideline, leaders lead. Coach Scalio always says that, and it's true. We need the leaders to lead and step up, and you know, when we're taking shots and be able to lead guys into battle and, you know, fight back and take over.
I would imagine that the leadership council that you're a part of and the captains of the team have had quite the weekend. It's been quite the last couple of days too. And you know, I want to know a little bit about what you talk about as a team in a players only meeting. How do you rally these guys? Because you have the part where, you know, everybody's kind of gathering together. One, who calls a players only meeting, and then what ends up being discussed in there? Is it because, you know, this is one of those things that we talked about before where you go, oh yeah, but you know what, you don't want to go in there and have a players only meeting and then just bicker at each other. So mm-hmm. how do you get into a room like that and then still be able to keep it positive and to keep it moving forward?
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something we definitely had over this weekend, was a players only meeting. And you know, we understand as inside the program and in culture, when we're in our facilities, it's a safe space. You know, we say, you know, we're a family. This is, you know, this is our home. This is a safe space to answer questions and to talk and share your feelings, whether it's football, whether it's life, you know, whether, you know, it's being questions about being a better husband or a better brother. You know, we're able to feel safe. And so I appreciate that, you know, kind of that culture and that the coaches set for us there. So when we're able to call that players meeting, we're able to come in and, you know, of course the leaders share what they have to share, and it has to resonate. And you know,
sure.
Coach Witt, you know, talked about, you know, you got to be sick and tired of losing. And I was always big on that too. You know, you got to be disturbed by these losses. you can't just take the loss and wilt away. You know, my dad always said, like, you know, you can't just wilt. You just got to be disturbed to the point where you become obsessed and then possessed in a sense. To come back the next week and to have things come out different.
Well, let's talk a little bit more, too, about now the offense being taken over by Cam Rising. When we return back on the flip side here, the Players Club, we'll talk a little bit about, like, that attitude change now that goes into this week. You enter Pac-12 play. Having all these things shift around in the week, has it actually been a really good practice week? We'll get into that. We'll be right back. More to go right here. We're at the Cross E Ranch in North Salt Lake. Just head all the way out the western part of Center Street, all the way to the very end. You'll find us here. It's part of the General RV Tour de Fans. That's where we're at. We even have the RV out if you want to come take a look, see where Scott's been sleeping the last few weeks. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Kaufusi.
All right, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club, brought to you by UCCU, Love Where You Bank. We are out at the Cross E Ranch. Of course, it's on the very west end of Center Street in North Salt Lake. And with us tonight is, of course, Devin Kaufusi. You talked about losing, and it's like, here's the only good thing I've ever known about losing. The only good thing is I realized I just hate to lose. I hate to lose. That's the only good thing about it. Uh-huh. It's like you do not want to live in that space. You don't want to have that space.
Uh-huh.
Devin, you talk about this players only meeting, and I know you're not going to share with us, nor should you, what went on in the meeting. But can you say in general terms, was it something you really feel like you needed? And I guess I ask this because I think everyone's shocked. I think you guys are shocked. I think the fans are shocked. Like, I don't think this was the intended outcome at this point. I really think Utah fans are like, okay, we'll be 3-0 after our non-conference schedule. We'll get a nice home opener against Washington State. So what was the meeting productive? Do you think it did what it was supposed to do and have the intended consequence?
I do. I definitely believe that it did. And as a leader, I've been able to take that feeling of belief and put it towards this week of work. So just, being able to do that with myself and have it emulate and, rub off and be contagious, that's taking a step forward to getting a win this week for sure.
What did you guys like? I mean, after everything went down and you have those two losses, I mean, did you find yourselves? Did you feel like that you guys just were not expecting to run into the type of teams that you got from BYU, the type of game and fight that you got from SDSU? Do you feel like that there was a preparation thing or like a mental preparation thing? Obviously, you guys are if you put it down on paper, you guys are the more talented team in those first three games. So, do you feel like that as a team, you guys didn't show up for those other two games like actually ready for what you were going to be facing against BYU and San Diego State?
I think the coaches put together a really well game plan. And then it's up to us players on the field, executing it. The coaches call all the plays they want, but they're not the ones on the field making tackles. So when it comes to those games, just really being able to come out and see who we are and like I said, be able to slug it out and swing it out. So scheme-wise, we trust the process. I mean, I know that's overset a lot of programs and you hear, but that's the real deal here at the University of Utah is this, that process. You got to trust and you got to respect it. And, where we are sitting 1-2, we got to take a look in the mirror and, find out who we are and decide who we want to be and then make the sacrifices necessary to be able to do that. And so I love my guys. There's something so great, triple overtime, something awesome about going out there and just being able to spill your guts. There's not many, workplaces or environments where you're able to actually be out there, and go to war with guys and really see everyone just fighting it out. And it's something so special. It's the priceless part of football that I love, just being able to spill your guts with your brothers and really fight it out.
That's the way Scott and I feel about radio too. Just spilling our guts.
Yeah,
to
spill your
we
guts,
have a lot
man.
Of guts. We have a lot of guts to spill. By the way, Devin, it's quite a sight.
Keep spilling them, yo. Keep spilling them.
Yeah. We gotta get rid of these guts, man. Hey, so obviously the quarterback change is the elephant in the room, and it's kind of nice to hide behind the. I play on the defense, man. I don't even know what goes on.
Yeah.
but at the same time, obviously as a team, you guys sit there and go at some point. You find out, like everybody else does, dude, Charlie Brewer's not on the team anymore, man. Mm-hmm. This is Cam Rising's team. What was there a spark that Cam brought in the game? Obviously, there's like the on paper spark that he brought with the three touchdowns and got his feet moving on the ground. And there was the obvious part where he got you guys back in the game. But what about now where you go, okay, I mean, there's no time to think about, okay, we're changing quarterbacks and you know, the sadness of a guy leaving the program altogether and another guy stepping up. How did you guys handle that news this week?
It was definitely a shock. You know, there was for sure a gasp by me and you know, a moment of shock and silence. Because, you know, we love, you know, Charlie comes in and, you know, he comes in and has worked hard, you know, through this offseason and everything. And so,
right,
you just, that's naturally how you gain respect of guys on the team. And him being able to step up and in a leadership position, you know, as a quarterback, you know, that's naturally the leader of the offense and let alone the team and stuff. So,
wait, say that again, will you, Devin? I didn't hear that.
Oh, sorry. I'm getting fired up about it.
He wants to hear more about how important quarterbacks are to this.
I'm just messing with you.
No, they are. No, quarterbacks are, you know, they're naturally in the spotlight and have that natural leadership to them. And so it's, of course,
they're,
you know,
handsome. They're very handsome usually too.
And they got lots of guts to spill.
It's
like
the best
that.
When you're spilling their guts. So that's the best time to see the quarterback when they're on the ground.
Defensive linemen and quarterbacks actually don't like each other.
It's an innate, natural, you know, dislike for them.
But did you? I mean, like now that you have the time where you're sitting across from each other and going, dude. Freaking left the team, and like it's just there's the upheaval part. There's the part where you feel like, okay, we're 1-2, and a guy just leaves the program, up and leaves the program. And you know, for him, and you've done the transfer portal thing, so you kind of understand like the I'm trying to do the best thing for me, and you can kind of did you understand like, oh, I can see where he's going here. He can go somewhere else. He can redshirt this season. All those things go into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely in a sense, you know, myself having that experience of, you know, leaving a program. And in the transfer portal, and so you see that, but you know, you just, you know, you love the guy more than just as a teammate. You know, you love him as a friend and as someone that's you know that you've seen every day, and you love seeing. And so there's definitely, you know, was sad about that, but the mentality at Utah has always been, you know, next man up. You know, the ship's got to keep moving, and the show must go on. And so having Cam, you know, be there. And him step up and do what he does is fantastic. Him as a leader in the locker room, you know, just off the field is amazing, and his work ethic.
Is it different? Like, that's kind of his thing. Everybody says he's, like, the vocal leader on the team. Even when he was not named the starter, you still had this vibe that he was, you know, one of those vocal leaders. Is that a difference between he and Charlie Brewer?
For sure. He's definitely a vocal leader, but, you know, he's vocal because he's able to, you know, do the action and do the work. And so Cam's one of the guys, you know, that lives at the facility, that's always, you know, coming up to check on you when he sees you in the facility. You know, he's just got a contagious, optimistic, positive, you know, growth mindset attitude to him. And so it's you know, I'm excited to see the offense this week, you know, with Cam stepping up into the role. Because, you know, the guys are confident and trust him because he's been in the program and has been, you know, that type of leader.
Well, and he answered, you know, when he stepped in the game last week, and he really came through. What I was impressed with Cam is at halftime coming out of the locker room at halftime, he was the first guy on the field, first guy over to the sideline, and you could just tell. I thought he was going in the game actually at that point, but you can just tell that he's really invested in this program and he's a guy that, you know, I think can actually create a spark plug. I'm really curious. It just feels to me like this is a perfect time for a reset for you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're done with your non-conference. It's over with. It's not going to impact the goal of winning a Pac-12 championship. You've got a new direction at quarterback, and it just feels like here's that chance. Here's that opportunity to just say, hey, let's hit the reset button and let's start this thing all over again.
Yeah, isn't that
and
crazy?
And get a different result. Yeah,
it's crazy thinking, you know, two losses – and yet our goal, it doesn't impact our conference play and our goal of a Pac-12 championship. It's crazy to think about taking, you know, two hard L's and to understand, hey, you know, that's really been emphasis is it's 0-0 on our record going into this week. It's conference play. You know, we got a chance to run the table. That's what Cam has been saying, no. And so it's 0-0. We're heading in. Let's start it off right. You know, have that fresh reset. You know, have that fresh mindset going in.
We'll take the break here. Devin's going to break down a little bit of what – well, he's going to do he's going to give us the full defensive game plan against Wazoo from this week. Isn't that what you told me? We're just going to draw it all up. We'll just give away exactly what you guys are going to do.
Wheel in the whiteboard, in the markers. Let's go. X's and O's.
Bust it out.
Yep.
Full X's and O's. We'll come back. We'll talk about what the Utes are going to be facing with Wazoo coming to town on Saturday. Stay right here with us. More to go. We're at the Cross E Ranch out here in North Salt Lake. All the way west on Center Street. You can come out, bring the family. Pumpkin patches, all sorts of fun stuff to come down and hang out. It's part of the General RV Tour to Fans. We'll be right back after news, traffic, and weather here on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU.
One, blue, one.
Tuesday nights at 7, Utah defensive lineman Devin Kaufusi joins KSL for an insider look at the Utah Utes football team. Join Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey in the Unrivaled Players Club on KSL News Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. It's the Players Club. Scott and I are out here live at Cross E Ranch in North Salt Lake. Agricultural entertainment. I know that sounds like...
Sounds like a degree. I got a degree in agricultural
you know what? I feel like that would be... They're like, well, the Utah State Aggies are offering a new...
I'm a rodeo.
I'm a rodeo clown. Devin's back in studio, so we won't... although we ate our... They fed us out here, so be jealous, buddy. So just think about it back there. You can't eat in the studio. Sorry. No problem. We'll be out here doing it for you. So...
Thank you.
As this week fires up, obviously, everybody's looking at that 1-2 record. I don't know how much you – I mean, we follow all of the fan noise because that's – you know, we host a talk show during the week. And so there's a lot of concerned people. There's a lot of, like, freaking out, you know, folks.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things that happened for you guys, though, on the defensive line side of things is Vianney Moala is out for the season. That was a massive loss for you. That's a guy that sits in the room with you guys as those defensive tackles. Talk about what it's like to – you know, lose a guy who, you know, is one of those leaders with you on the defensive line, and it's kind of, like you've always said, kind of next man up. That's going to be more work for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's hard seeing, you know, anyone on your team go down, especially when it's, you know, the guy right next to you and the guy that's in your room, your lifting partner, your partner when you're running gassers and, you know, and all that, you know, winter conditioning and summer conditioning. And so, you know, we just love that guy so much, and we appreciate him so much. And, you know, he just works hard and has that attitude and is the baddest dude on the team, you know, when it comes to stepping onto that field. And so it really is gut-wrenching, you know, heartbreaking. You know, having the results that happened with him. And so, you know, in a sense, you pick up and you move on, but, you know, you move on with the attitude of doing it for him. And so,
right.
Yeah, love him and wish him all the best and everything. And you know, that's just the part of the game. That's the worst part of the game is the injuries that people end up having.
Sure.
So Coach Whittingham talks a lot about, you know, next man up, you know, and it is tough to lose, you know, one of your teammates and someone you have a relationship with. What does it mean to you now playing in games and the reps you get in games and your situation?
For me, yeah, more reps and being able to, you know, in a sense, play up to V's level of his technique and his intensity. And so all week it's been that, you know, focusing on technique. We've been really just drilling technique up front, because, you know, we feel like, in a sense, you know, as games go on and season goes on, we heard this quote of the military, you know, it's not always, you know, rise to the occasion, but always, you know, fall back and trust your technique. And so for me personally, yeah, definitely got to do more. You know, my mindset has definitely taken on more in the sense of the responsibility. And it's something not to shy away from, but, you know, something to be excited about and the opportunity to go out and, you know, do my part for the team. Everyone has a part for the team. Everyone has a role. You know, mine just has to be more now.
You saw the film, obviously, over the weekend. Wazoo goes up 14-0 on USC, and I think a lot of people are going, oh, boy, what's going on here?
Uh-huh.
Jackson Dart comes in and picks him apart for USC. They end up blowing out. the Cougs. And so, what do you guys see in that Washington State team? And what do you expect out of them? I mean, they're obviously one of those teams that throws a lot, but they also have Borgie at the running back spot. He's a very athletic back. And so, what is it that you anticipate from Wazoo this weekend when they come into Rice-Eccles?
They're going to come in, you know, playing hard. I feel like, you know, every team that comes into Rice-Eccles within this Pac-12, they know the environment that you know, Rice-Eccles has. And, you know, in a sense, it's a fun challenge to take on. For me, understanding them was, so when we played them last year, they went up, what, 3 touchdowns on us?
Yeah.
It was. We had to claw back. So we know they're capable of being able to, you know, like, yeah, 14-0 up on SC. They're, what, I think went up 24 points on us.
And yeah, so they can score quick.
They can.
Sure.
Very capable team. You know, Coach Rolovich, he's been a long-time, you know, legendary coach. And, you know, he's taken over really well over there at Wazoo. And so, very capable team. We got to play our game. It's been a good change-up. You know, go from San Diego State running the ball, and then you see Wazoo being able to throw and really show the same personnel and formations in a sense. But they definitely got guys out there. On the opposite side, I'm not sure, but, you know, as standing as a defensive player, you know, that's what we were able to see through practice and been putting together.
How hard is that to make that transition where you play? I mean, really, you haven't seen a team this year, including BYU Weber State, that throws the ball probably more. And so there's going to be a lot more pass rush opportunities for you guys. You know, how do you make that adjustment? Just like in your rotations and your emphasis, what actually goes into all of that?
Definitely, you know, across the board with scheme and skill, your skill set. So being able to sharpen up on our pass rush, knowing how much to pass the ball, being able to, you know, throw some wrinkles in the scheme and plays to play the proper defense and be in the right position to make plays as a player. So, like you said, yeah, Wazoo being able to throw a lot. It'll be a different game that we've seen, a different team and offense that we've faced all season. So we're up for it, and we're really hoping to, you know, really happy to be back at home and to have this game. And it's homecoming, right? We got homecoming, so.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll take another break. Our final break here on the Players Club. Devin's going to do one more segment with us here, and we are going to ask some more questions of him, and he's good enough to answer those and talk about getting ready for that Wazoo game and also looking forward to the rest of the season here. And we've got some personal questions for him. So just stand by for that, Devin. Just sharpen the old tools here, and we'll go at it after
we'll break.
More to go right here. KSL's Unrivaled. We're live at Crossy Ranch out here in North Salt Lake, all the way west on Center Street. You can come bring the kids. The corn maze is up. All the wagon rides you can handle, plus the pumpkin patches are looking really nice. Oh, cotton candy, get out of here. I don't need that. I don't need you in my life, although your kids could use it, right? Come down to Crossy Ranch. We're going to take the break here. More to go right here at KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us.
Hey, we come today.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and Utah's Devin Kaufusi.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. We have none other than Devin Kaufusi from the University of Utah with us tonight. Final segment. We are out here at the Crossy Ranch, of course, Tour de Fans. It's Wednesday night, and it's a beautiful country evening here, not too far from the airport and not too far from, well, a Maverick grocery store. Because you always got to have that when you're out in the country.
Yeah. No, we're 10 minutes from our office. Devin could have just walked over.
And you feel like you're, you know, you're miles away. I mean, you almost feel like you're in Tooele.
Yes.
So I'm curious. I wanted to ask you this question, Devin.
Okay.
About the overtime format, and not the procedure of what happened in the game and the result, but the actual format. How did you feel about it? Was it a good format? Did you like it?
Did you have to get refreshed on what it was too?
I did, like
the rest of us.
I did, because I feel like there's always some type of change, and then you don't know if it's was that an NFL change it did in the overtime, or
right,
is this a college football change it did? And so being able to stay refreshed, and then it's like, wait,
I honestly was like, I usually know everything that's going on the changes, but in my mind, it was that they were going to have to start going for two. Not that third overtime, everything was 2-point conversions after that. I thought you know, I don't know. To me, sometimes I'm like, are we playing real football here? This feels like a little bit wild. But at the same time, there's kind of an excitement factor to it, too. Although it didn't go in your favor, obviously, there's that part where you go, man, this is kind of a fun format because it's kind of a shock and awe situation. You better dial up a weird play. They kind of did a trick play.
Yeah, they did.
And then there's the
Philly special.
You call it the Rocky special with Rocky. Call it the Brady special with Brady Hoke. No, I don't know what the overtime was interesting because it's a fun format. And yet at the same time, I was like, I don't know if the best team is always winning in this format, but you know, it is what it is. Devin, how do you get pumped up for games? Do you listen to, like, are you like all these, are you like all the kids these days? You throw your Beats headphones on and you're listening to the M&Ms. What's on your playlist? Is it Motab? I'm trying to figure out what's going on with the Devin Kapusi playlist.
Motab.
He's a rapper.
He's a rapper.
Yeah. For me, I still got the corded Apple headphones. You know, those are nice and
look
affordable.
At you. Yeah.
And so
that's nice.
I still rock those. And so, when it comes to, it's a long time. I mean, it feels like a long day when it's game day. From waking up, and then you have some more meetings, and you got some more walkthroughs and stuff, and you're eating and you're hanging around.
Well, those 8 p.m. kickoffs aren't helping either.
Yeah,
right?
Especially if it's a late game.
And do you like the 12:30 start that you're going to have this week?
Yeah, I'm excited for it. You know, it should be a perfect time. You know, weather should be nice and everything. And like I said, can't wait to get back home in front of our fans. So, but yeah, when it comes to – it's something I definitely had to learn and kind of, you know, get better at as I've gone through my football years. You know, when it's your first year – you're just kind of excited and your adrenaline's going like as soon as you wake up, and then you get to game time and you're kind of already spent. And so it's definitely a mindful, skill that you, or not skill, but you know, something you gotta be mindful of when it comes to game day, just being able to, find the right time to really flip the switch. So for me, I keep a, you know, cool, calm, collective. Everyone shoots for that. So my music I'm listening to on my little corded headphones is something a little bit more mellow. I love movie soundtracks, and so I look at that. I listen to some, you know, I love Hans Zimmer. I listen to some of his stuff
Man.
Or,
of course.
You know, it's just some of the classical kind of, you know, some mellow stuff.
Well, let me throw some out then for you. You ready for this? You got to get into James Horner. That's your Dance of the Wolves, Field of Dreams.
Yep.
That's your come on, Scott. What is that? Come on, it's a man who appreciates music over here.
Yeah.
It's between
I
me
mean,
and
I
Devin.
I liked all these movies, but
I know, but that but the,
you know, it's funny. It's funny you bring it up, Devin, because the managing your emotion is such a pivotal part of all of this, and I learned how to do it. I remember Michael Strahan talking. He says, "Well, you know, I was a young player." He said, "I hated the world." And I hated the other, you know, I hated the quarterback. I hated everybody. And he says, I just got tired of hating, you know. Uh-huh. And he said, so I learned how to, I could sit here and have a nice conversation on the sideline. And then I could go in a game and I could turn on the juice and off you go. And I, something about how you, whether it's music or whatever, because I actually used to read books in the locker room. And they were.
You snored at me?
I'm just having fun with you guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm just saying it's a real thing because I had to kind of go that route where, you know, I got into things that were different than, you know, that weren't
I definitely
rah,
did
rah,
the,
rile you up.
Yes.
Kind of stuff.
I definitely did the thing, I think, at first where I was like listening to, I got to listen to Tool, Metallica. I got to like really get pumped up. And then I think at some point I was like, no, I'm going to be the calm guy that goes out. And, like, when guys get all in front of you and they start doing the breathing hard thing and spitting and whatever, and I'm just, like, calmly, you know, outworking these guys, then it's just more frustrating for them. So that's what I I've noticed a lot of people taking – Scott, there's, like, some people taking some engagement pictures and stuff out here. Is there a special lady in Devin Kafusi's life who we need to take some engagement pictures with out here at the Crossy Ranch?
You know what? I'm working on it. I'm not in a relationship. You know, in season
pace
is
yourself,
tough.
Pace yourself. Listen to good yourself. Music. Don't get too excited too early.
Yeah, you know, I've had my relationships. And I've learned a lot and been in some situationships, so to say.
Situationships. Oh, that's the best.
It's a real word.
I love
it's
it.
It's a real word.
I learned it tonight. I didn't know what was going on. I love this.
Yeah, no, it's something I learned too, and –
Can you do that during football season? I feel like you put that off the back burner.
So I put it off. You know, I try to, I guess, plant seeds for later in a sense. Try to,
See, yeah. I'm not around this weekend because I'm going to be down playing a game down in California.
Exactly. So, yeah.
But I'll be back.
So, I put it off and keep the focus and stuff. And, there's a time and a place, and that's just one of the things you learn about, especially with football, because it takes a lot of time of your life and a lot of energy. So, off-season time, that's kind of the time, a lot of guys, have more time to go do things other than football. So, yeah, but as for me, football, school, football, treatment, staying fresh.
I love how treatment was one of the things on the list. Like, what do you enjoy?
It's a thing.
I love treatment on the beach. I love long treatment on the beach.
Yep, exactly. I love going to their
treatment. What are your hobbies?
Stretched. Yeah. I go home and I roll out again. I turn on a movie and I just keep it really low impact, low energy and stuff because you got
to
come back.
What you're
weekend.
Doing this weekend? Like to do some treatment together.
All right, ladies. Yeah. Now you know what the score is.
What I want
to
know is from
you like a tall. You like tall, dark, and handsome, and works out, and
does
prioritizes
treatment.
His treatment. Uh-huh. Boom.
Takes care of his body. Yeah.
Yes. Right,
yeah.
So. Yes.
Any situational ship?
Situationship. Yeah, exactly. a seasonal ship, couples Halloween
ship.
Costume coming.
Listen,
I got to find out if I got to go for that or if I got to go with the guys. We got to get a group costume. And so.
Yeah, you got to head on up to what do they do up at Utah State? The Howl. You got to head on up to the Howl.
Never been because it's football season, like I said. I missed out on those social events.
I'll just tell you right now, when I was at BYU, we took the 2-hour trip up to Logan.
Oh, people do.
You're not missing anything. You are not missing anything. It's a little bit too wild.
Is there anything from like Hollow Earth? Any new
theories?
Theories floating around out there.
So
I that's all I've thought about this whole week.
Yeah, no, I was talking. So I don't want to disclose names, but I was talking to my fellow conspiracy. So Britt loves to hear them. Me and Cole Fotheringham. We come to the table and we love. And we talk about it as if it's true and believe it,
right,
and Britt
right.
gets a rise out of it. So Britt loves it, and so we entertain him. Yeah, and not really crazy conspiracies coming
up.
So we'll see. Halloween time, I feel like something always sparks up a little different. So
Scott will send you some of the stuff that'll get you going. So,
love it.
He's starting to investigate. All right, Devin, next week. 2-3 now. We're gonna be or 2-2 now next week. We're gonna talk to you next week with a W under your belt. And listen, as a guy who grew up in Washington State, there are teams I don't like and there are teams I hate. And Wazoo's one of those teams I hate. So I want you to win one for you guys, but also keep in the back of your mind, Alex really does not like Wazoo. So let's get the dub this weekend. We're looking forward to it. Stay healthy, brother. We're glad to talk to you again.
Will do. Thank you. Great. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll come back next week. More Players Club next week. Devin Cafusi is going to join us. We'll be back again. We've got our second hour of the full program, though, here at the Cross Heat Ranch. And we've got a lot to talk about. Spence Linton from KSL5 Television, BYU TV, is going to join us. Is BYU really the 15th ranked team in the country? Well, they are on paper. Do they deserve it, though? Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
The sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We're going to get to our 8:05 cut here in just a second. I just want to remind people, it's a tour to fans. You know what that means, General RV. Scott drove the RV out here. It's out parked in front of the Cross E Ranch out here in North Salt Lake. All the way west, they're shutting down shop for the evening. Beautiful place, though. Awesome setup, great location, easy parking, and you can walk in and you get the you can do all sorts of stuff. You ride the tractor barrels, Scott. I know that's something that you look forward to. I know that's something you and I were looking forward to before we had to do the show. But great food. They even fed us tonight, so awesome job. And General RV, of course, hooking us up on the Tour de Fans to go around wherever we want. So let's kick things off here. It's our second hour of the program. It's our 8:05 cut, so let's just jump right in here.
The cut at 8:05. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Well, the cut brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit WasatchMedicalClinic.com for a free offer. Scott, so it's exactly what we thought it was going to be. The college football playoff, the expanded playoff discussions have been put on hold. You can't have your cake and eat it too. All this talk about playoff expansion has gotten us very excited. And then expansion of some of these conferences started to happen, and then a bunch of bruised egos suffered along the way as well. So I guess in my mind, why on earth would they delay a playoff just because they've had now some shifting around in the landscape of the actual conferences? Why would this delay anything in college football?
Well, I don't think that everything's completely resolved with, like, all the teams, the conferences, where does the realignment actually fall by the time this happens, and not only where, but when. I mean, you have teams going in and out of the Big 12, and when are those dates happening? A lot of it's driven through television. I'm sure that the TV, which drives everything, has to say, hey, wait a minute. We've got these original bowl situations with teams that are they have these alliances. These bowls have been longstanding. You know, there's a lot of tradition with a lot of the bowl games.
Sure.
And so they're trying to probably sort through more of that than it's actually does the format actually work, and are we going to be playing too many games, and how I think everyone said 12 teams makes sense. It's a good compromise. It's a good way to go.
And it was like they're already moving forward with
it. Yeah, I just think the TV thing, and not only just, you know, because the TV negotiations will be different. I mean, that stuff's going to – with these new conference realignments, I mean, all this stuff has a whole different feel to it. And I'm sure that TV wants to capitalize on whatever it's going to look like, and I'm sure that these conferences do too. I mean, everyone goes, well, we want a team or we don't want a team based on can they bring us more revenue, and where schools generate revenue is through television dollars.
What's the reality of like a Utah or a BYU or even, like, you know, it doesn't feel like still the setup that they're going to have with 12 teams will have an element of a Cinderella type deal. I don't feel like that element is yet part of those discussions. Does it mean, I mean, is it possible to have a bigger, you know, 32 team situation in the future?
No,
or,
well,
is it just something that, like, you know, we're basically just going to always live in this small playoff situation forever?
I think 12 teams in college football's playoffs is the equivalent of 64 teams in basketball. I mean, the fact that it's decentralizing.
That might be true because there's like 350 D1 basketball teams.
I'm just saying there's only been two, maybe three teams every year that even have a legitimate shot in football. Expanding it to 12 really gives a team that has a record maybe like BYU a year ago or a Cincinnati or a UCF or a Boise State or even a Utah back before they were in the Pac-12. You know, there's always a year when there's a team like that. And if you look at college football and you look at all the FCS teams that have won and beaten Power 5 teams, and you go there's clearly better football on a broader level.
There's always going to be a team who's going to give a shot.
One year there's
going to
be a team that really puts it together, and they just have all this talent. And BYU, I think this year is actually a team you could argue with. Before the season started, we said BYU on offense is loaded. And you look at how they performed this year, really good offensive line. They got great running backs. They're just loaded at wide receiver and tight end. And Jaron's done a great job of managing all of this, and so they're pretty darn good on defense too. So they're a team that could be one of those special teams this year with a 12 team playoffs. You're like, yeah, you're going to have a shot. You're going to actually, find a team with 12 in there that might surprise everyone and be that Cinderella, and that'll just make it so much more exciting.
Scott, the good news is I know that. So one of the biggest pieces of news that came out of the rivalry, we got some hot BYU-Utah talk today. So the 2020 game, obviously that was a scheduled, contracted game that was supposed to happen, and they had to reschedule it. Scott, we have it rescheduled. The rivalry game is going to be from 2020 is going to be played. Are you ready for this?
Oh.
September 7th of 2030. So I'll see you then. I'll see you then, buddy.
See,
I'll see you in 9 years.
I'm in the point in my life where I have to add those years up and find out actually
how old you're going to be.
How old I'm going to be.
Yeah.
So that's 9 years from now?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not that old. Nine years. I'll still be young.
You think you'll be doing still calling the game with you and Bill?
Well, yes.
What'd you see on that play, Bill? Nothing. Back to you.
See? I can't see anything.
You're going to have to describe for me who's on the field at this point. So I'm just saying, hey, good news. The rivalry's back on the table. That rivalry game's back on the table. They've rescheduled it for 2030. But September 7th of 2030, just in case you were wondering what day it was going to be. We'll come back. We've got more to go. Spencer Linton from KSL5 Television / BYU TV is going to join us. We haven't seen or heard from Spencer in quite some time. We're glad to have him back in the building, albeit we can't see him right now because we're out here at the Cross E Ranch. And we are here with the Tour de Fans, courtesy of General RV. We'll be right back. Spencer will join us next right here on KSL News Radio.
Hey, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. We're here at the Cross E Ranch at the very west end of Center Street in North Salt Lake. And, of course, it's Wednesday night, and that means it's the Tour de Fans brought to you by General RV. We are out here. This is a great place. It's Ag Entertainment if you're interested in that. And
I told you, I think you had it exactly right tonight.
Yeah,
the agricultural entertainment needs to be a new degree up at Utah State.
Yes, yeah. It's how you learn to become a clown.
A clown?
Ride a tractor, create a corn maze, sell some pumpkins.
Oh, I mean, creating a corn maze is more agricultural architecture. Okay.
Yes. We have a guest with us, Spencer Linton from KSL TV, BYU TV, and all that fun stuff. I have a question for you, Spencer, and of course you, Alex, and maybe I don't know if it's a question, but it's a comment.
I'm mad that we can't see Spencer in person.
Yeah, I'm a little bugged about that too.
Yes,
I'm finally here in your studio. Finally made it happen. Got my crap together, and now you're gone.
We're out of the building.
Yeah, we planned it that way. No problem.
Major League Baseball, I think of these poor pitchers who have to bunt. Like so much they get up and I think it would be the most terrifying thing in the world to have to bunt if you're a pitcher in Major League Baseball.
That's the question you have for
us? That's
tonight?
Just my thought.
This is the topic you're bringing up.
Well, I know. I told you Max Scherzer is like 0 for 56 this year at the plate with 52 strikeouts.
Right, yeah.
But he's probably going to be your National League Cy Young winner. And so you don't have to do anything at the plate if you're a pitcher, Scott.
It just seems... It just seems so embarrassing.
This is a National League thing, too, primarily, because in the American League, they have the designated hitter. So the pitchers don't have to hit anyway, unless they're playing in the World Series and it's at the American League field. But there's always a chance that you could have a Bartolo Colon moment, right?
A little home run dinger action.
You just take a cut at it, and then it gets out of the park, and everyone goes crazy.
I've got a big enough waistline that maybe if I had a hard enough swing, it could carry out of there. Yeah, absolutely. Spencer.
You could carry it out of the Grand
Hey, Scott,
Canyon.
I'm with you.
How dare you?
I would not volunteer to put myself at the plate and face a 95-mile-an-hour cutter and try and bunt a ball down.
Yeah.
Oof.
I just think of Randy Johnson. I don't know. Just
I'd be the bird in that equation.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson.
Disintegrating.
So, I know. First of all, Spencer, it's been a fun year so far for BYU football. It's been fun to watch and to break down, I'm sure, for you guys on BYU Sports Station. And it just has been fun to see this team back in the rankings. But here's my question. I know on paper they're the number 15 ranked team in the country. What's the ceiling for a team like this, though? Because now, 3 weeks in at number 15, that's like best case scenario that they could have ever asked for.
Man, hard to know because I don't think many, other than maybe the team and coaching staff themselves, really thought that they could actually be at this point. You know, I think we're.
Thinking, do you really think they thought that, Spencer? Do you really think that even the team
they believed
there are some competitors and some downright hunters on that BYU football team that were like, no, we're beating those three Pac-12 teams. We've got something to prove. Like Uriah Leotau specifically is one of those. He's like, you don't understand. We have things to prove. I've heard for a year and a half that BYU played nobody, that they're going to be garbage once Zach Wilson and the five draft picks leave. They got no shot against Utah and Arizona State. So there were some guys that were hunting for these wins. They've gotten to the point of the schedule now where it's three Group of Five teams in a row. Look, they're going to beat South Florida. USF is awful. They're starting a true freshman. BYU is a 23-point favorite. And even if banged-up Jaron Hall doesn't play and they want to rest some guys, I know Keenan Peely's out for the year with an ACL, BYU is going to win this game. Like Baylor Romney is capable of beating BYU to a four-touchdown win against USF. That's going to happen.
That's my question, because we talked to Jaron on Monday for our Players Club show, and he was like, yeah, no, I'm good. But now the rumblings feel different. So why has it changed suddenly? Is it because the spread's so big? Is it because he can, by himself, Baylor Romney lead BYU to a win, or like just out of an abundance of caution? Or is Jaron more hurt than we know about?
Oh, it's load management.
Absolutely.
Oh, stop it.
I think it's a little bit of both. Jaron doesn't have to play, and why even risk anything if you know that you need him back for Utah State and Boise State, because those are going to be two key games. The game in Logan is weird, right?
It is a weird game, especially if they win this weekend. If they somehow beat Boise State this weekend, which seems like a tall order, but they're already 3-0. I mean, who would have thought, yeah, BYU and Utah State are both going to be 4-0 facing each other, and Logan and the
Wild.
Insane to think that would be the case, but here we are.
And I believed it.
And Blake Anderson, you never believed for one second that Blake Anderson was going to turn things around so quickly. So, all right, the possibility of Jaron Hall maybe not playing this weekend, that's up in the air. But
right, get him healthy for Utah State. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, but maybe you do, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. They have switched sidelines this year so that the opponents are in front of the Herd student section and are going to be hearing them all game long to create more of a home field advantage. So maybe the 10 a.m. kick in Logan this Saturday and the Herd barking at Boise State all morning being ornery after staying out late Friday night, you know, maybe consuming some beverages.
What does that mean? Are you talking about the creamery?
Yes.
Sure.
Maybe 2%. It's weird, and they beat Boise State. I can't decide who I want to win that game because BYU is going to play Utah State and then Boise State. Like, what's better for BYU's resume? Like, playing a 4-0 Utah State and then hosting 1-3 or 2-3 Boise State the following week?
That's
or
a weird game.
Letting the Broncos kind of get back on track and then having them come to Provo in a couple of
weeks. I think always on paper, Boise State looks like a better win generally. But, I mean, it's at home. You know, that game's at home, but the Utah State game's has gotten a little bit more scary over the last few weeks.
Sure. We're scoring some points.
Spencer, this team has got quite the swagger right now, has a lot of juice going on, and they're super excited about how things are playing out. We have taken the liberty of just, like, looking way too far in the future at schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at next year's schedule, and we were talking about that because we were kind of making fun of the, oh, hey, we rescheduled that Utah-BYU game for 2030.
Can't wait.
Very exciting stuff. Cannot wait for that one. And on top of all the things that are going on, the Big 12 stuff is now just like that is always that narrative that runs through every discussion now that comes with BYU. How much has that changed the attitude of how you guys talk about the team and how BYU wants to cover the team going forward as well?
I think in talking with Kalani Sitake and Tom Holmo that, yes, there are certainly people within the program that are like, oh, man, I wish we could just fast forward this thing and get it going in 2022. But I think Kalani and Tom are like, look, the schedules this year and next year are the perfect segue for BYU to get into a Power 5 schedule year after year after year in the Big 12. Seven Power 5s this year, and then another very challenging schedule in 2022. They feel is a good learning curve and entry point for BYU to know exactly what they're getting themselves into so that it's not such a shock. Like they will have experienced this over 2021 and 2022 so that when they start in 2023, it's like, okay, we've been here. We've been doing this for a couple of years. We know what this is all about. And so I think that the staff and the higher-ups, they they're okay with the timing, you know, just with a little bit of time to transition in, into Big 12 play. And, I mean, I know, Alex, you asked earlier, like, the ceiling of this team this year. If they win the next three games, you know, and as a new member of the Big 12, then I wouldn't be surprised to see them rank number 10 going to Waco for a massive game with a future Big 12 opponent, which would just be crazy in mid-October.
So you talk about the schedule kind of helping in the transition and the strength of the schedule, but you still have to – recruiting changes. And I'm curious, have you heard anything about that also kind of upping or changing or different than how it was before? Because I think that, to me, is the most fascinating part about all of this for sure. BYU going to a Power 5 conference.
Kalani Sitake told me last week – early after the announcement of the Big 12, and again, we were talking recruiting specifically, he said, look, we've targeted the top LDS athletes. That's no secret. We think that we should get the majority of those guys at BYU. And he said, now, because of the Big 12, we feel like we will get those guys that instead are going to Oregon and Stanford and Utah, if not other places, Alabama in some cases. They just USC, feel like because BYU is a Power 5 school now, those guys – a few more of them that are opting to go out are going to stay and go to BYU specifically.
Well, I mean, it is interesting to think about how the strength of recruiting will go, because I think that there are people who look at that and they go, yeah, but can you still bring those people to BYU, because it is this institution that it's hard to get guys who aren't members of the church to get there and thrive. But in more recent years, Kalani's been able to get those guys to thrive.
Yes, I would present Tyler Algier, who is affectionately called a double minority. He is an African-American kid from Fontana, California, not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And then a bunch of his friends are following suit. Jamal Williams was that guy. Keenan Ellis is that guy. D'Angelo Mandel, the defensive backs, are those guys. There are more and more players that are buying into Kalani and not caring about the honor code. And it doesn't hurt that their parents are like, yes, you've had a tough time growing up. Go to BYU, play well, have a shot at the pros, and live
number
in an environment where you can be safe.
Number one, Stone Cold Sober. That's actually our nickname for Spencer, too.
78 years running.
Spencer, thanks for hanging out, man. We'll catch you on KSL5 television tonight. Tell us real quickly in 12 and a half seconds what we're going to be seeing on TV tonight.
BYU is seeking to make history this weekend, something that they have never, ever done, not even in the Lavelle era. I'll have the details for you at 10 p.m.
Ooh. A brand new flavor at the BYU Creamery. Yeah. Kalani's got to get his own flavor now, by the way.
We're working on it.
Figure that thing out.
All right. Love you guys. Good to talk to you.
We'll talk to you again, buddy. News, traffic, and weather right now. We'll come back. NFL Roundup, two-minute drill. You know the drill. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled. The Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade-A pro football stories from your two hosts, a former NFL quarterback and the other guy. It's the Unrivaled NFL Roundup.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the KSL Unrivaled NFL Roundup. We are here at Crossy Ranch out here in North Salt Lake. Very far west portion of Center Street. You just come all the way out here, and you can look. Here's what you do. It's fall, and it's getting chilly out tonight, by the way. Ooh, chilly. Did you hear that? I just said chilly. I could go for a hot bowl of chili. We had burgers tonight here at Crossy Ranch. It's all part of the General RV Tour de Fans. Scott, we got to get to the NFL stuff here. You ready for this? So I appreciate Spencer Linton coming in. It's always glad to have Spencer back. Had a bad bout with the old COVID. It was well documented, and now he's back in our lives again. So we're glad to have him back. Tom Brady says that the current NFL is softer than it used to be. Scott, this is me throwing a little softball to you for you to hit out of the park, because Tom Brady, who's been in the league since you were in the league, by the way, that's terrible.
The fact that
he's
Tom Brady,
old, so are you.
Right. The fact that Tom Brady's still playing at his age is indication enough that it's actually a lot softer, and it's by design. I mean, it's the rule changes, the whole issues with concussions, the backlash that I think the NFL felt from all of that. There were some massive things that had to happen. The game's evolved from its barbaric days in the very beginning. I mean, do you think of clotheslines and some of the ways they could hit players and the equipment and how insufficient it was, you know, it was for the day, and face masks that they never wore. I think the fact that softer is, yeah, it's just part of the evolution of the game. But you can argue soft all you want, Tom Brady. The NFL is, I think, in a very healthy spot, very popular. You don't hear a lot of the rumblings about, you know, hey, you know, the NFL is, you know, people aren't concerned about it like they were with the concussions and issues, I think, in the past. So I agree. I mean, there's
no
question.
So you do the whole, back when I played, defensive backs could actually touch the wide receiver. Nowadays, you can't even look at the wide receiver without getting a penalty.
It's touch, it's hit. I mean, and most of the rules really make it different for the defenses, and it is hard.
I will say the illegal contact, the illegal contact penalty, is one the NFL has no idea still how to really figure out. They go, yeah, but he did. He touched him, man. He was 5 yards down the field. Then he touched him. How dare he? Yeah, it's all like not holding. It's not pulling him down.
It's the subjective nature of some of those rules like that, where it's up for interpretation. And the plays happen so fast that the officials just like, yeah, maybe, I guess. I don't know. Looks like it. And it's certainly not consistent. So.
Oh my gosh, Urban Meyer, he's not doing it well. He's not doing it right now. He's not. It's like he is out of his league. College is exactly where he belongs, and the more he talks, Urban Meyer has said this week on his weekly coaches show that every week in the NFL is like playing Alabama. What kind of a comment is that? What Urban Meyer sounds like he's so out of his depth right now. Being 0-2 at Jacksonville is something that is, one, it happens. But number two, he acts like he's
here's the statement.
It's like playing Alabama every week. Yeah, it's like playing NFL teams because they're better than Alabama.
Well, no, what he's saying is not recognizing the value in his own team. I mean, because he's saying it's like playing Alabama,
a team that's better than you every week.
And we're Vanderbilt. That's what he's trying to say there, and so it's not so much. But the reality is Urban Meyer's team is not that bad. It's just not that bad. He's got a rookie quarterback. He's got a young kid who's trying to figure it out and winning his first year. If he really thought and felt like he was going to win right out of the gates his first year, you know, then he's not with it. There's right. Something wrong with him. It's going to be a learning curve. It's going to be a challenge. You know, own it. I mean, you can Hall of Fame coaches. Dynasty team started out just in the beginning getting beaten brutally bad for years until they got enough of the right players and got the right fix and chemistry to really be an effective and a good team, and he's just not there yet.
So Justin Fields is going to get that start this weekend with Andy Dalton with the tweak knee that initially they thought, oh, it's not a big deal, but now they're just saying, hey, Justin Fields.
Tweak knee?
Tweak knee. Yeah, that was my nickname in high school. What's up, Tweak Knee?
Tweak Knee.
So he's missing this week with the tweak knee, and then Justin Fields is going to get his shot as the Bears starter. And on the flip side, you've got Carson Wentz at Indianapolis, who is going to try to play with two sprained ankles, Scott. This does not sound like a good move.
There's got to be something in the water that Carson Wentz is drinking or something. I don't know. I've never, ever seen a player that's just so
– feels desperate, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's just like, I'll play. It's like Monty Python, you know, the guy's fighting.
I'm not dead yet. Oh, that guy. Yeah.
It's a mere flesh wound. It's like.
Come back here. I'll bite your legs off. Yeah. Yeah, that's Carson. That's exactly right. He's right. The Black Knight.
Yeah, he's just like.
Yes.
You know, it's just such an unfortunate thing. Everyone plays with injuries, Alex.
Yeah.
Everybody
but
plays
two
with
sprained
injuries.
Ankles.
Yeah, that's a good start, really. I mean,
well, who's the like, well, who's the. You're just starting.
I've seen some guys play with.
Who's Indianapolis's backup? Is it? Oh, it's Jacob Eason. It's my old Washington guy. All right.
Hey, who's actually looked pretty good?
He has looked okay. Yeah. Let's take the break. We'll come back. We got our 2-minute drill. The USC rumors about at this point. Speaking of people who sound desperate, the names that are popping up for that USC job, not good enough in my opinion. Scott is set on one name, and he'll keep bringing it up. That'll be next. The two-minute drill, wrapping things up right here at Crossy Ranch right here in North Salt Lake. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. We're out here at the Crossy Ranch, which is all the way west on Center Street in North Salt Lake. It's Wednesday. It's the Tour de Fans brought to you by General RV. We're out here with the RV.
You got the RV out. Somebody
asked. The sun went down. And,
somebody asked if you could. Somebody asked if they could win it.
Win the RV.
Yeah. Somebody asked if they could win. Yeah. Oh, we're doing tickets again this week, Down. What are we giving tickets
small,
to even?
A small
BYU South Florida.
Small donation, and you can win the RV.
So we've got tickets to BYU South Florida we're giving away. I'm going to be at the Macy's in Lehigh, I think. Dallin, does that sound right? Macy's in Lehigh? That's going to be Friday.
You know, because you're KSL's own.
Yeah.
Alex,
my wife takes umbrage to that commercial where they go, it's KSL's own.
Really?
And she kind of goes, that's true. No, he's probably there more than he is at home. Yeah. So my kids are like, oh, I didn't know KSL owned Dad. No, they do. You got it. Yes. So I'll be at the Lehigh Macy's on Friday for the tailgate. The tailgate so far, by the way, when BYU's winning, I'm telling you, these are insane.
Folks show up, huh?
These are insane little deals because we hide prizes inside the store, and it becomes quite a wild scene there. So come down, hang out at Macy's in Lehigh, 4 to 7 p.m. I'll be there this Friday. Scott. That two-minute drill, we fire up some NFL music here at the end of the program, and then you tell us exactly what the two-minute drill is since you've actually run a handful of two-minute drills in your day. So tell us what the two-minute drill actually means.
All right, I will. Late in the football game, you got to go down the field, kick the field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show. Go home happy because we get a trophy, two COVID shots. Looks like some caramel apples here tonight and a peanut butter bar.
Yeah, the caramel apples, I got them here at the – they're not on the plan, so they're going to go straight home, and my kids are going to eat them. I'm personally not a caramel apple guy.
Yeah.
But these are apparently
people,
really, really good.
People are into caramel, and it can be a good
apples.
Thing.
And that's the only way to eat an apple. Yeah. Nikola Jokic says he's hoping his MVP doesn't increase his profile. It's not really fun being a celebrity. How is it that Nikola Jokic just now got popular now that he became the MVP? He's been an all-star, but now being the MVP, he says he'd rather that nobody knows him than everybody knows him. How tall is Nikola Jokic? 7'1"? Also, he's not small. But, it's not like he's a skinny 7-footer either.
But if he was 7'2 or 7'3, he'd stand out. But at 7'1,
he's a doughy 7-footer from Eastern Europe. You're going to be able to recognize him in the airport, I'm going to think, if you're going through Chicago.
Look, when you're this, you know, these kids growing up and you just love sports and you just want to play sports. You don't sit and think about, I want to be famous. I want people to recognize me.
Some of these guys do. Some of these guys love it. When you got famous.
They all love it.
I was going to say.
Everybody loves it.
The paycheck is nice. Even Nikola Jokic. I wish I was not celebrity. That's the part for me I'm always like.
It's the fake humble.
Yes.
Yes.
Everybody knows. Look, the fans tune in to watch you, and you rely on the fact that they are excited about you for you to make your millions of dollars.
I always found it fascinating in my life where I could go play in front of 65, 70, 80,000 people and get really excited about that.
Yeah.
And actually, like, relish that moment. But if you ask me to play in a celebrity golf tournament when there were maybe 50 people at the first
you
team
didn't
watching.
Like, you didn't like it.
Oh, my goodness.
You were out.
I was like, I can't hit this shot. This little white ball is going to, like,
I saw the worst.
It's gonna be the death of me.
I saw the worst blooper the other day. It was from an old LPGA Tour video. And this lady lined up, probably from the 80s. She lined up. And, you know, the gallery's like, they're lined up. I'm always nervous for those people anyway.
No, I know.
And she hooks her first shot right into one of these patrons. And everyone goes, oh! And they're all, we need first aid over here. They take like 5 minutes to set
first
it back
aid,
up.
First aid, second aid,
they
third
take,
aid.
They take about 5 minutes to set it back up. She sets up again and does the exact same thing and hits a different person. And a lady in the crowd goes, make her stop! Make her stop. This poor gal on the LPGA tour of the 80s. I just thought, so when you talk about going up to that I just love the idea of, please make her stop. I'm like, you guys are the ones standing 4.5 feet from the dang tee box. Jeez, get out of here.
Oh, my goodness.
So Nikola Jokic doesn't want to be too famous. Hey, James Franklin apparently as a name going to USC as the head coach. That's kind of gaining some steam. I don't know if it's a big enough name, though, Scott.
You're right. There's
You've
only
got
one
feelings
name.
About it. What
no,
is it?
It's USC is a sleeping giant. And I understand Penn State is kind of one of those storied programs, too. It's a long par with USC. And when you had all of the issues with Penn State and Joe Paterno and Jerry Sandusky and all that, James Franklin just did a phenomenal job and has done an amazing job at Penn State. I think you could make the connection. Like, he's a guy that could handle a big time program, but Penn State's Penn State, and USC is a different. It's just a different animal.
Sure.
It's Los Angeles, a different. It's a different place than State College, Pennsylvania. It's just a terrible thing. The shorts are the problem.
Showing Scott the video here. So attempt number two where she lines back up. The other person's already gone. They're trying to help her. Make her cut it out. Make her cut it out. Hey, everybody, can we get you to stand off to the side? Scott Mitchell's coming back up to the tee. He doesn't like these events. This poor gal. All right.
The golfer's looking okay, what do I do
now? Arby's, they have the meets, Scott.
Yes. Yeah.
They put out a tweet looking for college running backs for an NIL business agreement.
Because it's Arby's.
It's Arby's, and they say you get
running
it.
Back.
I love this kind of stuff. Look, you saw BYU this week. All of the women – that are in the athletic department at BYU are now on the payroll to get NIL deals up to $6,000. Arby's coming out. All these companies need to throw some money at this. If you have a dollar to your name and you're a company trying to get some pub, you have to throw money at these athletes. It's an amazing time to get in on it, I feel like.
Well, it's just the beginning of all of this, and people are even going to continue to get creative with this. And I still think, though, there's got to be some settling down about all this. It's kind of fun. It's exciting. But eventually people are going to go, are we getting a return on this? Is something happening that's actually helping our businesses? Because you can't continue to support something or support something if it doesn't make sense for your business.
Look at that. Trevion Henderson, running back for Ohio State, he tweeted it out. He said, hey, I am now officially sponsored by Arby's. You can be too, Division I running backs. Wow. Just asking for other running backs to get involved in it. I love it. I love it, man. This is it's a big deal. These guys can get paid, man. That's what it's all about. Scott, Andrew Wiggins, he's an NBA player. I don't know if you know that. Andrew Wiggins still will not get the COVID-19 vaccination, which means that he would actually not be able to play in at Golden State at the home games. And he would also have to end up paying the team because he's not willing to get the vaccine. At some point, I don't know. I mean, like, in my mind, I'm going, hey, man, like, you and I were like this. Well, we can be in the studio together at the same time. If we get vaccinated, boom, I'll be there, yeah. Right?
And I really think it's a personal – I mean, I hate to say it, and to me it makes complete sense. And we talk about it on our show about, get vaccinated. But we also – I understand that, people, if they feel that strongly about it, they feel that strongly about it. And I think it's a hard place to be in. You got to have to kind of, I guess, ask yourself the question, what is my income, my life, my – where's the balance and what is my priority and what are the risks associated with this? And and make a decision. I think there's a lot of information out there that's incorrect, and I think people need to really get educated and understand what's really going on. And I'm not here to tell you what's the right thing or wrong. Just go figure it out. Go get educated for yourself.
All right, Scott. We appreciate the Crossy Ranch for having us out tonight. We appreciate General RV sponsoring the Tour de Fans. For Dallin, who hooked us all up out here, for Scott Mitchell back at the studio hitting the buttons, and Jeremy, our producer, and Devin Cafusi, of course, on the Players Club tonight. I'm Alex Geary. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.